Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Virginia Governess by Liz Carson Keith is a historical novel set in the final years of the American Civil War, centered on Charlotte Lottie Briggs Carson, a Virginia woman employed to teach children in the Carson family on a plantation near Reynolds, Georgia, rather than treating the war chiefly as battlefield spectacle. The book turns attention toward the domestic front, where education, kinship, grief, scarcity, and uncertainty shape daily survival. Its subject is especially rooted in the experience of women whose responsibilities expanded as military conflict disrupted households and separated families. The narrative is also distinguished by its reported use of actual letters from Capt. Carson, which gives the fiction a documentary texture and connects private emotion to the larger historical crisis. As a Civil War novel, its purpose is not only to dramatize a turbulent period, but to examine how ordinary family structures absorb pressure from war, loss, and social change. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a Civil War narrative centered on the governess rather than the soldier, the most distinctive feature of the Virginia Governess is its choice of viewpoint. Civil War fiction often follows officers, soldiers, political leaders, or civilians caught directly in military movement. Liz Carson Keefe instead foregrounds Charlotte Lottie Briggs Carson as a governess, placing teaching, supervision, and emotional steadiness at the center of the wartime story. This shift matters because the governess occupies an unusual position within the household. She is not simply a servant, yet she is also not identical to the children or elders she serves. Her role requires discipline, learning, moral example, and social tact, all under conditions made unstable by war. Through that perspective, the novel can examine how education continued when the world around the family was being reordered. The classroom becomes a small site of resistance against chaos, not in a military sense, but in the practical sense of preserving routine, literacy, manners, and hope. This focus also widens the meaning of wartime courage. Lottie does not need to command troops to carry responsibility. Her importance lies in maintaining continuity for children and kin when deprivation, absence, and fear threaten to dissolve normal family life. Secondly, the plantation household as a pressured home front community. The Georgia plantation setting gives the novel a concentrated social world in which public war is felt through private consequences. The Carson home near Reynolds is not presented merely as scenery, but as an environment where food, labor, authority, illness, education, and family obligation are interdependent. In such a setting, the war arrives through shortages, news from absent men, grief over death, and anxiety about what military campaigns may bring. This allows the story to explore the home front as an active arena of endurance rather than a passive background to battles. A plantation household also contains layered relationships, including children, in-laws, hired help, relatives, and visitors, each with different claims on loyalty and resources. When pressure increases, those relationships can become sources of comfort or conflict. The book, therefore, uses domestic space to show how war changes the meaning of ordinary decisions. Teaching a lesson, managing supplies, writing or reading a letter, or caring for the vulnerable can become part of a larger effort to keep a fragile community intact. The result is a Civil War narrative in which survival depends on household governance as much as on distant military outcomes. Thirdly, women, caregiving, and education under wartime deprivation. The Virginia Governess fits within a body of historical fiction that recovers the often underrepresented work of women during the Civil War. Lottie's responsibilities as governess make visible forms of labor that are easy to overlook because they are domestic rather than martial. She teaches children, negotiates relationships with the extended family, and helps preserve emotional order in a household marked by loss and uncertainty. The importance of this labor becomes clearer under wartime deprivation. When families face scarcity, bereavement, and loneliness, education is not a luxury detached from survival. It helps children retain structure, language, memory, and a sense that the future still exists. The novel also suggests that caregiving is not sentimental simplicity. It requires judgment, patience, and sometimes resistance to harmful choices made by others. Women on the home front had to adapt to decisions made far away by armies and governments, while also responding to immediate needs inside the home. By placing a female educator at the center, the book presents wartime endurance as a network of daily acts. Its emotional force comes from showing that family continuity depends on people whose work is rarely recorded in official histories. Fourthly, historical letters as a bridge between fiction and family record. A notable element associated with the Virginia Governess is the incorporation of actual letters by Capt. Carson. This technique gives the novel a hybrid quality, allowing imagined scenes and relationships to be anchored in surviving documentary material. Letters are especially valuable in Civil War fiction because they were one of the primary ways separated families experienced the conflict. A battlefield event, a rumor, or a personal fear often reached home, not as an abstract historical fact, but through handwriting, delay, omission, and tone. By weaving letters into the narrative, the book can bring readers closer to the emotional rhythm of the period waiting for news, interpreting partial information, and preserving written words as evidence of attachment. The device also strengthens the family history dimension of the novel. Rather than building solely from generalized Civil War atmosphere, Keith appears to draw on inherited memory and documented connection. That does not turn the book into a conventional history, but it does affect how readers approach it. The letters make the domestic story feel less like an invented wartime pattern and more like a reconstruction shaped by specific family traces, lending credibility to its intimate scale. Lastly, Love and Loss, framed by the collapse of wartime certainty, the subtitle of the book emphasizes love and loss, and those ideas are central to how the novel positions the Civil War. The story does not reduce love to romance alone. In the available description, love appears through teaching, family duty, loyalty to children, care for elders, and the effort to remain connected to absent relatives. Loss is equally broad. It includes death, loneliness, material deprivation, and the weakening of familiar social arrangements. This pairing is important because it keeps the war from becoming a distant historical episode. The conflict is measured through changes in daily emotional life, who is missing from the table, what news can be trusted, what responsibilities must be assumed, and what kind of future can be imagined for the children. The reported presence of threats tied to the final Georgia campaigns intensifies this uncertainty. As armies move and the old order becomes unstable, private relationships are tested by fear and moral pressure. The novel stands out when it treats love not as escape from history, but as something shaped and sometimes damaged by history. Its domestic focus makes loss cumulative rather than sudden, showing how wartime grief can enter ordinary routines and remain there. In conclusion, The Virginia Governess is best suited to readers who want Civil War fiction with a domestic, female-centered emphasis rather than a campaign-by-campaign military narrative. It should appeal to those interested in Southern homefront life, family history, women educators, and the emotional consequences of wartime separation. Readers looking for large battle scenes or broad political analysis may find its scale more intimate than panoramic, but that narrower focus is also its chief strength. The practical benefit of the book lies in how it helps readers think about resilience as a household practice, maintaining education, preserving relationships, managing grief, and making decisions under pressure. Intellectually, it contributes to a fuller understanding of the Civil War by examining how history entered kitchens, schoolrooms, sickrooms, and family correspondence. Compared with many novels in the same genre, it stands out through its governess-centered viewpoint and its connection to actual Carson family letters. Those elements give the story a specific documentary resonance without requiring it to abandon the emotional accessibility of fiction. For readers drawn to historical novels that illuminate private lives within public crisis, Liz Carson Keith's book offers a grounded portrait of love, responsibility, and loss in wartime Georgia. If you would like to support Liz Carson Keith, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.